Welcome to Moneyline. This is Matt McCall. Thanks for joining me here on this Friday. A little overcast here in Northeast, but we got a big show coming up. We're going to be talking about the markets breaking out to new all-time highs. We're going to talk about SPACs. Literally, get your pen out, because there's going to be about 10 to 15 SPACs I'm going to talk about. We're going to talk about our power portfolio. We crushed the market last year. We're building our power portfolio 2021 right now. We'll talk about that a little bit. And of course, take your questions. What's going on with Workhorse? What's going on with Chinese stocks? Will they be delisted? All that's coming up on Moneyline.
The buck starts here. Moneyline with Matt McCall.
All right, folks. Once again, this is Matt McCall. Thanks for joining me today. It is December 4th, 2020. It is a Friday. It is Moneyline. And you've got to be proud of me. I didn't have to look down to see what the date was. I'm feeling good today. A little pep in my step. Got a good night's sleep. I got some Dunkin' Donuts going on here. Got the markets up right now. The Dow's up 20, or sorry, the S&P's up 25 points. 0.69% to a new all-time high. Things are good. Life's good, you know. Sure, we can look at headlines and be sad, but let's look at what's going on. It's good. So let me give you a quick rundown of what's going to happen here today. We're going to talk about the markets a little bit, some charts, what happened in November, how good it was, what it means for the market going forward, even more important. Then we're going to talk about some SPACs, some new mergers that were announced, Laser going up, and maybe the new Laser. I got an idea for you. And then we're going to talk about Power Portfolio 2020. Louis Navalier, legend in the game, been around for decades. We came up with a portfolio we put together for 2020, crushed the market. We now are coming up with 2021. We're going to talk about really how I go about doing that, how him and I come, and we're going to talk about some stocks too. And then, of course, take your questions. China, what's going on? Workhorse, what's going on? Beware of the media. The House voting on the MORE Act, which is, of course, all cannabis. All this coming up and more. But first, don't forget, if you want any more information, you want to sign up for one of our newsletters as low as $99 a year. Go to investorplace.com/moneywire. Also, all of our free articles there. You can sign up for a free email that comes about 5 days a week that my team and I put together. Great information there, all free as well. So check that out, investorplace.com/moneywire. So let's jump into it. As I mentioned, we got the S&P breaking out. So why is the S&P up 25 points? And I will tell you, this is the second go-around of this. I did this about 20 minutes ago. And about 20 minutes into it, everything got wiped out, the computer system, and it didn't tape. And it was up 19 points. Now it's up 25. So I'm glad we waited a little bit longer. So it is about what? A little after 11 o'clock here a.m. East Coast time on Friday, breaking out to a high. Well, you know, we had the jobs number this morning, not as good as expected. Less jobs created than we had anticipated. The economists had anticipated. And that didn't really hurt the market, because I think that's just more sign that we're going to have stimulus coming. So potential of stimulus next 30 to 45 days, probably a likely outcome in my opinion, maybe 60 days. We have vaccine rolling out by the end of the year, and then really kicking up probably a few of them early next year, first quarter, really getting out there. We have that. We have an infrastructure bill most likely next year. We have corporate profits next year that will be at an all-time high. We have tons of money in the sideline. We're $4.5 trillion sitting on this infamous sideline. All-time high in checking accounts, all-time high in saving accounts, all-time high in net worth for individuals and nonprofits. That is why the S&P is up 25 points, hitting an all-time high. We price in the future. We don't price in the negative headlines today. We price in the future. As terrible as the headlines are, more people getting sick, more people going to hospital, all that kind of stuff, dying, it sucks. Like, I feel for everybody who's been affected by it. But again, I'm here to talk about the stock market, and there's a lot of other good things going on underneath, and that's why we're hitting all-time highs, and that's why we continue to make money in this market. Let's talk about a couple charts here. I got these from LPO, our good friend Ryan Dietrich over there, and just a couple stats that he had, which I thought were pretty amazing. You know, November was such a great month. The Dow was up 11.9%. It was the best month for the Dow since January of 87, best November since 28. So going back almost 100 years to the Great Depression time. Best month ever for the Stock 600, that's a European index, up almost 17%. Best month ever for the Russell 2000, 18.3%, small mid-cap index. Best month for the S&P, 11%, NASDAQ almost 12% since April of this year, so not too long ago. That was a bounce back after the pandemic, obviously, right when we launched our crisis and opportunity portfolio, which is crushing the market. Best month for the Dow Transport since October of 2011, up 12%. Best month for the Philly Semiconductor Index since March of 2003, up 18.4%. Best month for industrials, financials, both up over 16% since April of 2009. and second best month ever for energy, up 28%. It was due for a bounce. That's all fine and dandy, but we like to look ahead because, as I always say, you can't dry looking in a rearview mirror. Too many economists and analysts and money managers, to be frank with you, do that. They look behind. Well, the trailing S&P or the trailing P ratio is this. Who the hell cares? You're not buying 12 months ago. You're buying for the next 12 to 80 months. Look ahead, man. What happens after a 10% gain in a month in the S&P 500? Since it looks like 1970-ish, it's happened. This is the 12th time it's happened. And I'm looking at 12 months after it happens. One time it happened was April 2020, so we don't have 12 months yet. But I will say 6 months after, it's up 12.3%. But if we look back and the times that it's happened, which has been 11 times, this was the 13th time. The 11 times that we have data for 12 months, it was up 9 of the 11 times. So 82% of the time it's up. On average, 13.1%. Even looking at 6 months, up 83% of the time, because we have an extra one in there because we're actually up since the April timeframe. And the median gain, 13%, average 11.5. So what this tells me is buying begets buying. When big money comes in like that and big money has to come in and move the market that much, it's not the end. It's just the beginning. We have huge gains left in this market, man. It's in the roaring 2020s. I've been talking about this. The fact that I talked about the roaring 2020s a little over a year ago heading into 2020, and I said this year is going to be a good year, and we are still up despite all of this, the pandemic, the worst shutdown in a century in this country, if not ever. Look at this. Still hitting an all-time high, folks. That's why you can't invest based on headlines. You can't invest looking in a rearview mirror. Investing, as I say all the time and saying this for decades, investing is simple. It is not easy, but it is simple. So what do I mean by that? Well, I like to use getting in shape. If you want to get in shape, it's pretty freaking simple. You eat better and you work out. But is it easy? Heck no. It is not easy at all. It's not easy to get up before work and go work out. It's not easy to eat a salad instead of having a cheeseburger, but it's simple. The same with investing. We know what we need to do. It's simple. Invest in quality companies for the long term, but it's not easy. I'll tell you that, because our human emotions mess with us. All right, so let's get into the SPACs I was talking about. Sorry, I told you I was going to be talking about here now. And let's look at number one. And this is potentially going to be the largest SPAC merger ever, potentially. And I don't have a chart for it here. I apologize for that. For some reason, it's not coming up. But it's trading at $10.77, up 7 cents today. This merger, I got the information over here. This company, as you can see, the SPAC is called the Altamar Acquisition Corp, ATACU. That means it's units. That means it still comes with a warrant. They're talking with Dyal Capital, spelled D-Y-A-L. And Dyal Capital's in talks to merge with Owl Rock Capital. Already owns some of it. They would then merge and go public via the SPAC. And the deal would value the two managers around $13 billion. They're money managers. And that would be the biggest SPAC ever. And what it really shows me is where we've come in SPACs. A couple years ago, SPACs, they used to be called reverse mergers, and they still are, blank check companies. And a lot of times it was pump and dump BS companies coming in through some shell company. This is much different. What we're seeing now is the validity of the SPAC market. DraftKings, Virgin Galactic, Velodyne. I mean, look at some of these companies that are going public, big time companies. It's great. So if this happens, it will be the biggest ever. And just to give you an idea, Dyal, they buy minority stakes in private equity companies. So it's like a PE company, where Owl Rock, they loan money, basically risky debt to troubled companies. Both kind of risky areas, but I like that area. If you're good at it, that's when you make money. There is opportunity in crisis, and that sounds like what they're doing. So it's one to keep an eye on, but again, just talking. And sorry, I don't have the chart. For some reason, it won't come up on the system. So I'm going to go through a bunch of SPACs here. I'm going to go through, that was A, and I'm going all the way down through S. So let's get moving. Laser, we all know about Laser, right? This company was GMHI. We had it in our portfolio here, our early stage investor portfolio. And we had it down, I think, around 12 bucks. It's at $31.74, up another 38% today, folks. It's unbelievable the move that this has made. And this is LiDAR. Luminar Technologies as LiDAR. And that's what that little thing on top of the autonomous vehicles, that's what that is. So that's what LiDAR is. And again, it was GMHI, and it did then convert over to laser, the new symbol, when we got the new company name. And I'm just looking to see when we added it to the portfolio, so I let you know the exact price we put it in there at. And it looks like we put it in at $12.67. So obviously right now we're up about over 150% since the 16th of September. So less than 2 months. We'll take that any day. So congrats to our subscribers of Early Stage Investor. Making money, baby. So next one we're going to take a look at here. And again, nothing here is recommendations. Buy, sell, hold, nothing. This is just educational, sharing my thoughts. It's a CF Finance Acquisition Corp. 2. They're combining with a company called View. It's a self-tinting window maker. You can see it's up on the news, but I don't know much about self-tinting windows, so one I'd stay away from. But it just announced it, so I want to let you know what's going on. Next one we're going to take a look at here is NGA. And NGA has announced that they're going to be merging with Lion Electric Company. Lion, as the animal. About a $1.5 billion enterprise value. Lion's an all-electric company for heavy trucks, buses, minibuses that are sold basically to schools and mass transit companies. So it sounds like a pretty interesting one. It's in a hot sector, obviously. And you can see it's up pretty big on the news. It's up 4% today, up almost 40% since it went public as a SPAC. The next one here is INAQ. And this one's going to be merging, and again, another recent one, about $1 billion deal. With a company called Metro Mile. It's a digital insurance provider. What I like about this is, you know, insurance is going digital. And this is basically your insurance is based on real time, how many miles you're driving. I love that. I recently got a car, as many people know. I don't drive hardly at all. I mean, it's if I put in 3,000 miles this year, it's probably going to be a lot. And that's if I take a road trip. So I don't drive much, so I'd rather pay the insurance that, you know, the less I drive. So very interesting. You see this with health insurance and other types of insurance. It is all going digital. Blockchain is going to really destroy the insurance industry, and for good reasons it's going to destroy it. Next, this is one that, again, not happening, but in talks. GIK, they're in talks merge with Lightning eMotors. It's a charging company. So again, you can see it went up under rumors, pulled back 11.45 today, down 3 cents. The volume's really dried up. Rumors ran it up 40% and it's come back down. So again, just rumors, just sharing that with you. Another one that did merge, make an announcement to merge recently is TDAC, which is Trident Acquisitions. This announced it's going to be merging with Lottery.com. You saw it go up and come back. And again, I've talked about this several times with the SPACs, with IPOs. You see the initial reaction, then it comes back. And then a lot of times when the deal actually goes through and it changes its name, you see it go back up again. Very similar pattern to a lot of these things. But that's one to keep an eye on too, Lottery.com. Another recent one here is symbol MFAC. And as you can see here, they are going to be merging with Bank Mobile, which is one of the largest digital banking platforms in the country. It's a subsidiary of Customers Bank Corp, which is a publicly traded company. That symbol is CUBI. They have over 2 million accounts. EV is about 140 million enterprise value, so small deal. But that's interesting because digital banking is definitely the future. So that's one, again, maybe you want to look into. But you can see here, it just took off recently, but not as much as a lot of the other ones have. I'm going to come back to this one. CIIC, we've talked about this in the past, just an update. They are combining with Arrival, but it's up 29% today, EV company. Man, oh man, that's why you don't chase. You wait for pullbacks because I said you see what happens here. Another one, XL Fleet, PIC, we've talked about this in the past. But again, just give you an update. Rally, pullback, takes off again. Then we have OAC. This one's a little different. It's not getting a lot of press. Oak Tree Acquisition Corp up 5 cents today. It's at 1086. It had an original rally, then pulled back. Again, like we see all the time, don't chase, folks. Chasing is for losers. This is combining with a company called Hims, H-I-M-S. You've probably seen the commercials. They do direct-to-consumer prescription medicine for men. A lot of times it's things they don't want to talk about, whether it's for erectile dysfunction, stuff like that. But for men, and now they've expanded into women's health as well. But this is the type of business where, yeah, get the prescription drugs mailed to you. Even though I have a CVS two blocks away, not even, I always go to the last day to pick up any type of prescription. I get a text. If you don't pick it up today, we're sending it back, or you have to get it again. It's just you don't want it. We're so accustomed to getting things in the mail. This is one to keep an eye on. Again, I need to dive into financials, but this is HIMS, H-I-M-S, is who it's merging with. Here's another one that's interesting as well, AMCI. It's merging with Advent Technologies. And Advent Technologies is a fuel cell maker. It values the company down here when it did the merger around $358 million, so obviously a little bit more now, closer to probably $400 million, about a little bit more. I will say I own this one. I bought it, I think, at $11.82. I like this one because, the fuel cell is hydrogen type area. I've never been a big fan of it, but it's been hot lately, and I think it's going to be the next big one. I think we've seen EVs move, and they're going to continue to go, but I think you see hydrogen fuel cells really, really take off. One to keep an eye on here. Let's see, where's another one in that same area? I can't find it. But here's ALAC. This is Albertson Acquisition Corp, and they are announced that they're going to be merging with SolarMax. They're a maker, manufacturer, installer of solar panels. Again, solar's hot. I'm surprised I haven't seen this one move more. Maybe it's just under the radar. We haven't seen a big volume come in yet. But again, one to keep an eye on, folks. And then we have another one, SMMC. They are merging with a company that's called Buildtrust. You see, this one's really starting to move. This is a company that is basically the Venmo of business-to-business. Business-to-business, sending money back and forth, digital accounts receivables, payables, stuff like that. Again, that's something that goes on behind the scenes, not as sexy, but people are liking what they're seeing here so far. And then there's another one, which this hasn't gone through this deal, but there's been a rumor, but we haven't heard much on it recently. This is the Red Bull Acquisition Corp. This is the one where Billy Bean, from Moneyball, Brad Pitt plays him, used to be a general manager of the Oakland A's. He is involved in this one, and there were rumors that it's going to merge with the parent company of the Boston Red Sox. They also own the Liverpool soccer team, football club, I guess you call it. But nothing's gone through yet. Obviously, professional sports have taken a hit lease recently without fans and stuff. So, but it might be a good time to get in if they end up going through that deal. But they're looking for a sports deal, but nothing has gone through as of yet. And then I think I have two more for you. This is what I was looking for a minute ago. HCCH, again, nobody's talking about this one. Look at this, up another 10% today. Volume has been big, but not that big. They are merging with a company called Fusion Fuel. It's a European company, but hydrogen. Again, fuel cell hydrogen, flying under the radar, folks. I just kind of came across this one recently. I'm going to dive into a bit deeper and see if its value looks. And then that goes along with the AMCI I talked about a minute ago. And then let's take a look here at IPV. This is one I've recently bought this morning. I'm glad I did. I'm up a little bit here. InterPrivate Acquisition Corp. They are merging with another LiDAR company called, I think it's pronounced AEVA, A-E-V-A is the name of the company. But IPV, you've seen it's moved already. It's already up 20% from its SPAC price. But if it follows Laser, which is Luminar, look at what that did. This is at 12. This is up to 32 and change, right? Up 40% today alone. And then there's Velodyne, VLDR. This was the first one, the big LiDAR company as well. It's at 15 now, but you see where it rallied up. This one I feel like hasn't really gotten there yet. And it could be one to keep an eye on. Again, I own some shares of it. So just for full disclosure, I'm not trying to pump this up. I'm just telling you some of the stuff that I like here as well. So there are your SPACs. I just went through a ton. I hope if you have any questions, put the comments below. Or if I'm missing any big SPACs, please put those in the comments down below too, and I'll cover them next week for you. But I will tell you, this is not a fad. This is a trend. This is the best way to go public for most companies, not all companies, but most companies. And we're going to see this continue for years and years ahead. And I love it because it's giving us opportunity. And a lot of them follow what I call, and I'm going to show you an example of one, the J curve. And I used to follow this curve when it came for IPOs. A lot of times you'll run up and pull back down and go, you run up, here's a J. You start buying when it goes like this. You would have been buying at 18, ran at 32. It's probably having another one come up here. You have this J curve. It runs up, comes down, forms a little base, boom, takes off. It's similar to like a cup and handle that Investors Business Daily talks about, IBD. So keep an eye on that. And I think that we've figured out how to play these. And I love this right now. So a lot of opportunity there, folks. All right, so next, let's talk about our power portfolio. And I got my little second desk over here, so make sure I have all my information. So this is something that we put together December 10th, we launched it of last year. So about a year ago, and Louis Navalier and I, he's more, you know, of a bottoms-up type guy, a little more fundamental type guy. I'm more of a top-down, I look at the big trends. So, you know, we're both very bullish, but we vary dramatically a lot on come up with stocks. But we spent weeks going through back and forth. I like this stock, do you like this? And we came up with stocks. We ended up adding 12 stocks to the Power Portfolio. And we said, listen, this is a buy and hold portfolio, so you don't have to worry about it. You can set it, let it go till the end of the year. We'll tell you when to get out. We recently told people to get out on the 23rd of November, so just under 1 year. It said we launched it on December 10th with a gain of 35%. Our benchmark when we set this, when we launched this, we said our goal is at least 3x the Dow. Well, the Dow returned just under 6%. So we more than 3x'd it. We nearly 6x'd it, which would be 36%, nearly six times the Dow. So if we're able to six times the market and we're running a big hedge fund or something like that, we would be all over the cover of Barron's, I'm telling you. So I want to go through kind of what we did here really quick and show you some of the stocks that really knocked it out of the park for us. One was JD.com, and it still has a great freaking chart. I mean, I think there's a great buy here. This is one of the large e-commerce companies in China. But this stock, when we closed it out, was up 163% for us. It was a big, big winner for us. Just to give you an idea, too, of the 12 companies we put in there, 8 were up, 4 were down. So we were only right 2 out of 3 times, 67%. That doesn't sound great. I mean, I know it's great because I'm in this business. But I tell you I'm going to write 2 out of 3 times, you think, well, why aren't you right 8 out of 10? 2 out of 3 times is actually fantastic, but it doesn't sound that well. Because, you know, 1 of every 3, you can be down. It's okay. Not everyone's going to be a winner. I will say, though, 5 of the 8 that were up on at least 59%. As I mentioned, JD was up 163. So it shows you why you need to have a basket, why you needed to be diversified. Because when we picked these, I thought all 12 were awesome stocks. I didn't know which ones. I didn't know JD was going to be the best. I didn't know who came in second place here. Well, this one's going to be interesting. I mean, look at this. I didn't know this was going to come in second place. A trucking company that continues to go up and hit an all-time high again that got crushed in March. I mean, look at this, folks. This stock got crushed. I mean, it was up around, I'm going to put my glasses on. I don't need them for close-up, but I need them for far away. You know, it was around, what, $100 a share? Fell down to about 60, fell almost 40%, about 40%. We held on. Now look at it. I mean, my goodness, up 85%. We sold with a gain of 85%. So that is what you have to do. And just, I'm going to go through a couple. It's not all of them, but give you an idea. JD.com, Chinese e-commerce. SAIA, trucking. But think about e-commerce, people getting things delivered. Even with the pandemic, people got stuff delivered coming back. What else do we have here? Another one that actually did real well. Again, this was before the pandemic. We didn't know this. Ring Central hit an all-time high yesterday. We use it for work. That's what we do our conference calls. Ring Central. So again, 3 very different companies. RCM. This is healthcare IT hitting an all-time high. R1 RCM is the name of the company. Whoever heard of this company? Very small. But again, very, very different companies. And then we had some that, you know, just kind of didn't do as well. Acoustis, which is a company I still like, AKTS, it's a 5G company. Just didn't do much. Didn't do much, but, you know, I still like it. We had one, U.S. Concrete in there. U.S. Concrete, down 2%, we sold it, but it was crushed. It was down in single digits. We sold it up in almost nearly 40. So 2 things I want to get across here. One is you have to diversify a portfolio. 2 is you don't panic when the market is like this. Trust me, I had my team, I had marketing, I had everybody, people in the company, I had subscribers saying, oh my God, I better sell this right here. Or what about FTAI? I better sell this down here at $4. Now it's at 22. No, because what I felt, and Louis as well, was that this was a black swan event that was going to be a short-term pullback, and if anything, a great buying opportunity. So we didn't panic. And you can say, Matt, well, why'd you hold it all the way down? Well, I'm not perfect. We did hold it down. Yeah, we may have had a stop loss right there, sold at 12, but again, we still sold above 20 when we got out. It still worked out in our favor, and that is the way to do it. You have to think long-term, and you must Be diversified, folks. Okay, so we crushed it. So what are we doing now? Well, Louis's coming to town next week, but we've been going back and forth the last couple of weeks, and we're down to about 7 now, maybe 9 stocks. We're probably going to launch between 8 and 10 stocks when we do it. We're going to launch it in the middle of December. I'm so excited to it, so make sure you check out Power Portfolio 2021. I'll let you know when we sit down to do the video. I think the video might go live like December 16th or something. I think that's when we're doing it. But I'll let you know as we get closer. You guys can watch it. Louis and I sit down. We're sitting down with Lauren Savan again, our greatly trusted host. But what I'm going to do is I'm not sharing the stocks with you. Obviously, that's what people pay good money for. And for good reason, we crushed it. I'm going to share a couple stocks that didn't make the cut. Ones I like that maybe Louis said, you're an idiot, Matt. So here's one. That came out. This is a healthcare diagnostics and research, bioanalytical systems. You can see here it's had a real heck of a run here as of late, and even going back a couple years. So let's pull up and let me tell you a little bit about BASI. Number one, it is a small company, and we try to get a little bit small mid-caps because we really both think that the small mid-caps are going to have a big year. This is only a $76 million company, so this is a very small company. But you know, it's one that's in a sector that I really like. They drug discovery and development services, analytical instruments for pharmaceutical and biotechs. This is just a really, really hot area right now. So that's one, maybe a little too small, but it didn't make the cut. Another one that did not make the cut, in kind of the same area, but health IT. Remember we had RCM last year, it's crushed it. You can see here, Omnicell, it's having a really nice run as of late. This company is obviously going to be a little bit bigger than BASI. Omnicell is a $4.6 billion company. But, you know, automated services and tools for the healthcare and pharmacy business. It's really for pharmacies. When you think about pharmacies and how everything is getting digitalized, but they're still way behind pharmacies, really are, folks. Omnicell is a big player when it comes to the pharmacies being digitalized, being connected with everybody else in the healthcare industry. So that is one to keep an eye on as well. And then the other one is a smaller company as well. And this is in a real estate industry. And we do have a real estate company. I'm not telling you what it is, but we did pick, which is probably a better real estate company that we're going to be adding to our Power Portfolio 2021. It's about a $350 million company, but look, recent IPO, it's taken off. They provide some cloud-based real estate brokerage services. So this could be a big company to keep an eye on in the booming real estate market that we're seeing right now. Again, only $350 million company. New company, but really looking really nice. And kind of here, you know, here's that takeoff, here's your J curve. Now Jaden kept going. All right, so those are a couple ones to keep an eye on. Let's also talk here some of your questions. Again, don't forget to like, subscribe, share it, tell your friends all about it, all that kind of good stuff. People keep asking about China. You know, the bill that was passed, the House passed bill, S-945, the Holding Foreign Companies Accountable Act. And this requires that U.S. regulators to review the audit books of U.S.-listed Chinese companies, or they will face this delisting if they do not come into compliance within 3 years. You know, I saw the guy last night from Crane Shares, Brendan Ahern. He was on Bloomberg last night. I met him in China. We actually both spoke at the same event last year in China. Great guy. Crane Shares are really good ETFs if in China. Very knowledgeable. And I'm going to use a line that he used, and it's basically more bark than bite from the government. And I agree 1,000%. I couldn't say it any better. You know, most of these U.S. Listed Chinese companies are already using the big four accounting firms already, so they're going to be fine. You know, there's over $2 trillion in U.S. money that's invested in U.S. listed Chinese companies. You know, the big names, Alibaba, JD.com I just mentioned, Baidu. So to me, we're not going to take that away. First of all, that's so much money. If the U.S. were to do that, suddenly, New York and the U.S. is not the financial capital of the world. Maybe it goes back to being London. Maybe it goes to being Hong Kong. I don't know. Maybe Shanghai. But the point is, this is a global industry. There's no way. They have 3 years. All the big guys will fall in line. It's just them kind of puffing up their chest. And I get it. We want them all to have the same accounting standards. The thing is, it's just if this was going to truly knock them out, then let's take a look at, well, I'll use one of the Crane Shares ETFs, the China Internet ETF. It wouldn't be trading right below an all-time high. It just wouldn't. It'd be getting crushed. So please, just ignore this for now. I mean, if something changes, I'll let you know, but ignore this for now. So another question people keep asking about is Workhorse, WKHS. Again, as many of you know, we recommend this in our early stage investor where we had Laser as well. $2.74 back in May. It was up over 10x, fell back, up again yesterday, down a little today, down 4.5%, 21.64. The reason it fell very big earlier this week is the USPS, United States Postal Service, once again delayed the awarding of the contract for the new postal trucks, which is going to be anywhere between $6 and $8 billion. Workhorse is one of the finalists, and they have great odds of at least getting part of that contract, in my opinion, if not all of it, probably just part of it. And so it fell because they delayed it. Should it surprise you that our government delayed anything? They can't get their head out of the sand, especially the U.S. Postal Service. And nothing against the hardworking people at the U.S. Postal Service, but it's a freaking disaster. It's been losing money every year for years. Meanwhile, UPS and FedEx make a killing. It's just they can't get out of their own way. But eventually they have to because they can't fix these damn vehicles, the Grummans they have out there now. They can't find parts. They can't find mechanics to know how to work on them. They've been on the road 15 years longer than they should have been. They're very fuel efficient. It's ridiculous. It's going to happen. So now they said to fiscal second quarter of 2021, which is really the first quarter between January and March of next year. We'll see what happens. I still think it gets a part of it. If it does, the stock goes to 50, in my opinion. Personal opinion only. The other thing is the MORE Act is coming out today. The House will be voting on the MORE Act, and this is about basically decriminalizing cannabis, marijuana, and the marijuana ETFs trading right now, if it closes here, it'd be the best close since going all the way back to February. So it's really come back quite a bit. The U.S. Based cannabis companies have done real well after Biden got elected, because Harris and Biden said they're ready, they're going to look to decriminalize marijuana, which they should. We also had the UN recently go along with the WHO recommendation. They moved marijuana off the naughty list, if you will, where it was sitting next to heroin, which is just absolutely insane to me. How somebody can compare a marijuana cigarette or a gummy to heroin is just asinine. No offense to people who think it's the same, but you're just not educated in that area. Not that I'm a big drug user by any means, or a drug user at all, but I've done my research. They're very, very different, folks. And it's going to be legalized here eventually, but decriminalized first. The House is probably going to pass it today. It might be passed by the time you're watching this. But then it goes to the Senate. They're likely not to pass it anytime soon. We'll see once Biden and Harris get in there what they do. But it is good news for the U.S.-based marijuana companies. And I'm just going to show up one, and we have no exposure to this. It's just the first one that popped in my head. Grow Generation, GRWG. You can see how well the U.S. has have done. And this is kind of a company that's a secondary play on cannabis, you know, kind of selling what they need for the growing and stuff. Man, look at the run on this. You see home improvement stores, basically what it is. You know, kind of another one that goes in line with this is as a non straight on play, Scott's Miracle-Gro, kind of right along there as well. And then there's Central Garden and Pet, CNT, which has had nice big runs too. Look, the long-term chart here, as you can see, it's had a big run from 25 up to 39. So just a couple of things to keep an eye on. Last but not least, a little bit of a rant here. Hope everybody had a good week, number one. Hope everybody's staying safe out there. Do whatever it takes to stay safe. If you have to stay inside, put your mask on, whatever you want to do. I'm not telling anybody to do anything. Just please be safe. Keep others safe. I will say also, you know, please ignore this media, because the more Twitter I read, the more Twitter gets annoying to me. There's so many people out there talking out both sides of their mouth. Jim Cramer, I had a high respect for him back in the day. I had a radio show before he was on TV that was the same as similar to his radio show, where he take calls in, similar to his Mad Money show he has now on CNBC. He was great for a little guy. Now he's just an angry old man. He is old Wall Street. He is hashtag old Wall Street. He just complains and bitches and moans. And it's just like, why? It doesn't get you anywhere. He says he doesn't own any stocks, but then he pumps up stocks. He talks out of both sides of his mouth. One day he loves a stock, next day he doesn't. So please, just beware of who you're taking advice from. The same goes for financial advisors. You know, I'm a newsletter guy, I'm an author, I'm an entrepreneur, I'm an investor in public, private companies. I am a money manager. I am a registered investment advisor. I own Penn Financial Group, where I manage clients' money. I have all skin in the game. I do this. I'm not always going to be right. My opinion is not always right, and I'm an opinionated guy. But at the same time, I have skin in the game. I'm trying to do the best for everybody out there. A lot of financial advisors don't know anything about any of the stocks I just went through. And the reason for that is they're trained to sell. They sell, sell, sell. When I came out of college, I had an interview with Northwestern Mutual. I'll never forget. I was in New York City in my cheap suit from, I think, Today's Man, wherever it was. Didn't fit me. I looked like a schlub. I remember going in there, and I got offered the job after a couple of interviews. But what they made me do is write down all the people I knew that had money. And as a 20-some-year-old, I was going to call these people and try to get them to invest in Northwestern Mutual, some bullshit annuity that was, the fees were high, but I made money off it. And it didn't work for two reasons. One, I'm not a salesman. Two, I didn't know anybody with money. I came from a little town outside Pennsylvania or outside Philadelphia. We didn't have, nobody had money in this town. It was a shit town, an old steel town. So it didn't work out, and I'm glad I didn't do that. I ended up working at Charles Schwab, where I actually learned the market. I was on a trading desk. It was awesome. I got to actually learn the insides and outs. I learned to read charts from my mentor Q there, who's going to be working with us here very soon. So we really had a different take on things. But I'll say, I'm going to say as high as 95% of financial advisors out there are selling you something and then you don't hear from them. They don't know anything about the market. They put you in a slew of mutual funds which underperform. They charge you high fees. So please be aware of what you're getting into. This is the money you've worked so damn hard for. Now let that money work for you. Again, debt is good in sometimes. Cash is not king. All the things you hear from these guys is not true. We need to think outside the box. Old Wall Street is dead. Old Wall Street does not care about you because they're just going to go sell somebody else 10 minutes later. Please keep that in mind. All right, that's my rant for today. On a good note, let's take a look here one more time where we are with the S&P 500. Up 24 points, 0.65% to a new all-time high, folks. Enjoy that, please. Just enjoy it. Bitcoin's above 19,000, near an all-time high. Enjoy it. We're doing well. We're making money. Please comment questions below. Let us know. Go out there. Hug somebody. Tell them you love them. Have a very wonderful, wonderful, safe weekend. My weekend's going to be all about work. I'm working a lot this weekend. So I have a lot of good stock ideas come Tuesday. Next podcast comes out. Again, thank you so, so much for watching. From the bottom of my heart, I'm Matt McCall, and that was your Moneyline.
With Matt McCall. To find more information, head over to McCallMoneyWire.com. That's McCallMoneyWire.com.